we are in a new administration. Obviously, some new leadership and congressional side as well. What's your kind of take on Washington and their approach to agriculture?
Well, that's my opportunity to visit with the folks here at the Northern Ag Expo tomorrow about attitudes in Washington, D.C. I think it's truly a mix, as with any political administration. First of all, on Capitol Hill, as you have 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans in the Senate, as you've got the House of Representatives that's narrowly divided, anything that really is going to shake up the status quo just isn't necessarily all that likely to move. We're seeing the big battles over infrastructure and the Build Back Better plan. I think certainly on behalf of agriculture, we should be thrilled with the infrastructure plan. We know that rural roads and bridges, that reinforcing, expanding our ports, providing relief on highways for truckers, absolutely critical to moving agriculture goods from North Dakota and the upper Midwest to ports and points around the world.
What about EPA from the administration standpoint? Do you have a sense? I mean, obviously we're still putting people into positions and such.
I decided long ago, I grew up on a farm, I've worked in associations on behalf of agriculture for a number of years. I think I still have that farmer mentality in me, that I'm going to start each season with a sense of optimism, that things are going to be really great this year. As the Biden administration came in, I was very heartened to hear President Biden campaign on science over fiction, and we've heard the EPA talk about scientific integrity, and that those may be lofty words for a lot of folks, but what it means is the idea that there are career scientists at EPA who have the expertise, who look at the products that my members are bringing forward and make scientific decisions on how we best protect the environment, how we best protect threatened and endangered species as a part of how we review a pesticide, how we ensure the protection of human health. All of those questions are addressed and answered by the career scientists at EPA. And so, as we heard from the Biden administration, support for career scientists, support for scientific integrity, that certainly is encouraging. I think there's been a few decisions more recently that have been far more political in nature, and that's disappointing. But I think we'll continue to push to ensure that the expertise at EPA still is the point of decision making for the agricultural inputs that our farmers need.
Had some hiccups along the way with dicamba, and we're still waiting announcement. Any sense on timing there?
I know EPA has made public statements that they are looking at a number of different products, not just dicamba, but others in terms of specifically the Endangered Species Act and how those products provide the protections, are being used in ways that provide the protections needed for endangered species. When I had an opportunity in October to visit with some of the EPA political leadership, I talked about the fact that farmers were at that point in time already making purchase decisions and making plans for the 22 crop year. And particularly as we look at the challenges in the supply chain right now, the ability to move product, if there's any changes coming out of EPA at this point in time, farmers may not be able to get the seed. They may not be able to purchase different chemistries than what they had already planned. So I'm hopeful that if there are changes, EPA recognizes where they're at in the season, provides farmers the time and the allowance to get through the 22 crop season before any of those changes would take effect.
Certainly, your company's put a lot of focus on innovation, and that's a big investment. More time seems to be invested in the whole review process. What's that mean? Does that stymie innovation from the ag chem sector?
Well, I'll take just a little bit of a segue, or take the long way around the block. We've been doing consumer focus groups and reaching out to people in large cities across the country. We were in Sacramento, California, Indianapolis. We'd been in Minneapolis before. We were in the Washington, D.C. area. As we ask consumers how long they think it takes a new pesticide to come to market, one of the answers that came forward was 6 months. And, they said, it's not as if EPA spends 10 years, looking at these chemistries before they're approved. Well, EPA spends 3 years, but my companies do spend 8 to 9 years developing the research and the information and the data which is submitted to EPA, and then EPA will take at least 2 to 3 years further to review that. So almost 12 years to bring a new product to market. And the fact that consumers don't understand that, don't understand that there is a very extensive regulatory process in place for pesticides, that truly is hurting us from the standpoint of innovation. And the irony to that is, as we have the ability to develop new chemistries, new methods for controlling weeds and insects that can threaten productivity on the farm, we actually have an opportunity to bring new chemistries forward that are more protective of the environment, are more protective of other species. So we should be building a system that promotes and encourages innovation, but that's not where we're at today, unfortunately.
How do we get that message to consumers then?
It is one of the things that we're working on, specifically looking at messages that help a consumer understand that there is this extensive regulatory system. The message or the idea that our companies will test 10,000 different combinations to come up with one new product. And that idea that there's that much scientific rigor in the development of a new chemistry is actually helpful to giving a consumer comfort about how farmers are using pesticides. We are looking for ways that we can share those types of messages, not just with consumers, but also with the decision makers, whether it's a local county commissioner or a city council member in Minneapolis or a member of Congress. We need to ensure that they have that understanding of the basics about our regulatory system.
It seems like so many things happen in Europe that eventually find their way here in the United States, and with that focus on sustainability and some changes going on in the EU, do you see that as kind of a warning or something that we should be looking at here on stateside?
Well, I think exactly a warning, perhaps, from the standpoint that food costs in Europe have continued to grow at a point in time when we have continued to have available and affordable supplies for American consumers. We know that agricultural productivity in Europe has decreased, and so they're importing more of their food from other countries. They are trying to export their regulatory system, and yet, if you're a farmer in whether it's the United States or in South America or Asia that is battling different types of pests and weeds, you need to be able to use different products to be able to protect the food that then is getting exported to Europe. And yet the Europeans are looking to make these colonial types of decisions. It's truly unfortunate because it's going to have implications for those of us here in American agriculture. I did just want to revisit the supply chain from the standpoint that I've been truly encouraged over the last few weeks. I've worked with several of my colleagues, not only in the agribusiness community, but also our commodity organizations, the livestock industry, pulling together as an agricultural industry to send recommendations to President Biden, to Secretary Vilsack, and Transportation Secretary Buttigieg to reinforce the idea that changes need to be made to address the supply chain issues that we're facing in agriculture. We're talking about increasing the hours of service that a trucker can be on the road. We know that there's a safety factor, but even a small increase will increase our trucking capacity. Expanding truck weights, again, we're building safer trucks today, so we know that we can accommodate larger weights, and that, too, is increasing our trucking capacity. We need the administration to be looking at these types of things so that we can begin to break some of the bottlenecks that are affecting the supply chain, not just for agriculture, but for the entire economy.
We're still looking at 100-plus vessels sitting off the coast. This has got to be a long time to work through this whole system.
It does, and for us in the pesticide industry, you take those issues where we may have ingredients sitting on containers in those ports, and that's going to impact our manufacturing process. But at the same time, the freeze in Texas, which shut down a number of refining plants who were producing critical ingredients for our manufacturing process. And that freeze, you know, as you're exploding pipes, because of that freeze, it takes a long time to replace that infrastructure and bring those plants back online. So that had an impact. And then Hurricane Ida coming through the Gulf this summer also idled one of our larger manufacturing plants. So, you know, we've had natural disasters that have impacted our supply chain issue, and then we've got backlogs in the ports and trucking, a trucker shortage, which is you know, slowing down the movement of goods. All of these things, I think, are going to compound the issue for farmers. Again, though, our companies are committed to ensuring that we can continue to bring the supplies that farmers are going to need for their 22 crop season.